are to be men of God.
Men's hearts have to be woken up.
As a father, my job is to make sure my children get to heaven.
I think the timing is absolutely right. I think that we're on the verge of an incredible renewal within our church.
Welcome to the King's Men, building up men in the mold of leader, protector, and provider.
I felt a real thirst to want to know about God.
Iron sharpens iron, men sharpen other men.
A part of man's natural calling is to protect society, to uphold the common good, to make a difference.
And now, here is your host, the co-founder and president of the King's Men, Mark Houck.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Welcome once again to the King's Men. I am Mark Houck, as said, your host, back here live in the studio here today on Friday, the 26th of October. Boy, the fall is upon us. The leaves are falling off the trees. I just passed a Protestant church on my way down to the studio, and they had a great sign outside, as often they do, and it says, "Fall into Jesus, he never leaves," L-E-A-V-E-S. I thought that was really great. But anyhow, we are here in fall and blessed to be in the studios live. We will be talking today about a recent trip I took to Switzerland on the 11th of October to the 18th. We had an amazing experience over in Europe. We brought the Kingsmen mission to a new territory, even though we've had an influence there through some wonderful outreaches going on there. The Knights of the Immaculata, Militia Immaculata, their great leader there, Benjamin Apley, is taking care of all the things men's spirituality-wise, and he's been connected with the King's Men for over a year now, and we went over there, stayed with him and his wife, myself, and the men of Switzerland went and did a retreat in the Swiss Alps, and we gave four talks in the area of Switzerland, Germany, Austria area, and it was fabulous. It was anointed. I'm going to talk a little bit about that today and that experience and what that was like and what I learned, and share with you the wonderful saints that we visited while there that I didn't know much about, and I think it would be good for our listening audience to learn about these wonderful saints. And I also want to talk about something that happened on the previous program after our opening prayer, that I got a call from somebody, and I want to just qualify some statements I made. So let's begin with a prayer. Let's coat this program in prayer, and as we begin all good things, in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Augustine's prayer to the Holy Spirit. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Amen. And we pray on this day for St. Augustine, to intercede for us, St. Joseph to intercede for us. If you're just tuning in and you are hearing the King's Men for the first time, we are a lay men's apostolate that started here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia back in 2006. And we've been doing outreach to men full-time since then with weekly men's programs, weekly men's groups that meet all around the country, 50 men's groups approximately, the ones that we know of anyway. And we do retreats for men. We do healing programs for men, healing retreats for men. We have the Masculine Genius Institute. We have a healing retreat for women. And we have an outreach to those struggling with pornography, those that are victims of pornography, but those who are actively engaged in the multi-billion-dollar pornography world. So we'll do activism fighting pornography. So we've gotten well known for that fight. We've been a part of the closing of 20 sexually oriented businesses in the last 15 years. And so share this wonderful airwaves with you to spread the message of authentic Catholic men's spirituality. And there's great things happening around the country and the world, and we're going to talk about the world today in Europe specifically. But before I do that, the last time I was on the airwaves, I was on the Radiothon, but prior to that, we had a program here, and we were talking about the current crisis in the church. And I made a few comments that in my head made sense, but it maybe in translation and how it came over the airwaves did not come through as clearly as I would have wanted it to. And I got a call from a dear sister in Christ, Teresa, and she invited me to listen to the program again, and I did, and to hear the things I was saying and to understand that maybe that might be misleading or confusing. We were talking about the church and how some Catholics might and consider and have been walking away from Holy Mother Church as a result of the scandal. And in commentary on that, I said, you know, that perhaps this may have to happen for a time and for people to heal. And although I understood in my head what I was trying to say, it may have gotten translated or received that I was encouraging people to leave if they had to. I don't want to make that my statement, nor was that my intention. Although I think it might have come across that way, I want to apologize, retract that statement, and simply say, I guess, a qualifying statement that no, we don't encourage anyone to leave Holy Mother Church ever. We do not want that to be received on these airwaves ever like that. However, I want to state that acknowledging that people who have left, people who are leaving in response to the crisis, Holy Mother Church is waiting and praying for them to come back. And we encourage them to come back. And certainly as they process what they need to process, which was the message I had that day, we know that God will call them back and it will continually be inviting them like the father waiting for the prodigal son. And so anyhow, I just wanted to clarify any statements for any confusion if anyone thought in the audience that I was encouraging people to leave the church. No, I was not. And I certainly was not trying to communicate that, and just trying to understand the situation and bring empathy and a rationale that said that despite the many challenges that we face, God is faithful to his people, and we need to be faithful as well, and we need to hold on to what is true, good, and beautiful, which is the sacred deposit of the faith. And those that are leaving and those that have walked away, we pray for them. We pray for them to come back into the fold and to heal and to bring a stronger faith as a result of the purging and the purification that we're experiencing in the church right now. Okay, so thank you, Teresa, for calling me and reminding me of potential confusion with that. All right, let's talk about the Kingsmen in Europe. I made a commitment at the beginning of the year, of this year, to visit all of our men's groups around the country and the world. And we have an outreach through the Militia Immaculata, through a wonderful brother in the Lord, Benjamin, who may or may not be listening to this program now on the internet. And I invited him to consider doing a retreat as I ventured to come over to Europe to visit with the men, to see how things were going with their men's outreach. And they're borrowing some of our methodology. And I said, well, how about we consider doing a retreat or do a few talks while I'm there to help subsidize the trip? And Benjamin was very open to that. And I did do that, arriving in Zurich, Switzerland, early in the morning on the 12th of October, and beginning our experience in Europe that night with a talk in the town of Veel. And it had to be translated, the presentations. And our talks were revolving around the issue of sexual integrity. And we delivered four of them. And it was very well received and had an amazing experience with the men. And I just want to comment on what's going on in Europe first on a general level, what I see in Switzerland, and then also give commentary on our retreat experience over there. So, as many of us know here in the West, church in Europe is struggling, much like it is here, but probably even more so in that region. We need to pray for the church in Europe. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ in the faith, and we need to pray for a return to faith and the return to God and a return to the sacramental life of the church. I saw a wonderful gift, which was Mass in the extraordinary form, while I was over there. And if you don't understand that language and what that means, prior to Vatican II, Mass was celebrated in the Latin, as many of us know, but it would be have been referred to as today as the extraordinary form, where the priest is ad orientem for the entire Mass, and in a low Mass he would be saying 95% of the prayers, 96% of the prayers, in silence or to himself, which would not be heard by the faithful. At a high Mass, we'd have those words declared, and we would be able to participate a little bit more in the Latin. Nonetheless, I experienced Mass in the extraordinary form. It was beautiful. It was great to see the universality of the Church. And I see the great grace and benefit, which was at one time, when you traveled in the world, experiencing Mass in the Latin. Regardless of the language, and in Switzerland, they speak Swiss German, or some German, some French. You experience Mass, though, in a universal language of Latin, in the Latin Rite. And so it was great to be able to participate in Mass in the Latin. And we had a common language, which was understood by those who went to Mass, because you said this no matter wherever you were. Now, this is all pre-Vatican II. And so I experienced the Latin Mass in a very beautiful way. When I was in Poland 6 years ago, everything was in Polish. And I really, I could follow the rhythm of the Mass because I knew the order and progression of things. However, translation-wise, I really didn't know what was being said. Whereas in the Latin, I understood 90% of what was being said, and I could follow along, and I could say the words in Latin. And that was a great blessing to me, and I saw the wisdom behind all of that. Now, Vatican II, of course, took place, and the Vatican II fathers did not want to do away with Latin. I think that's a confusion by a lot of our contemporary modern faithful, that the Church was trying to do away with the Latin. And I think E.W. Tien has done a really good job of preserving a lot of the Latin. As you listen to the Mass on E.W. Tien, you'll hear the Latin in the Mass very often, in the consecration specifically, when we give the responses in Latin, the Sanctus, the Agnus Dei, the Lamb of God, you hear that. And so that's very good. That's a good thing. And of course, the Church encourages that. And the Vatican II Fathers were not trying to eliminate the Latin. They wanted to bring the Mass to the people, the vernacular, the homilies in the vernacular of the people. And of course, the spirit of that was not designed to, reduce the Mass to bring it to know Latin, for sure. However, that's kind of happened. And so when we experience the Novus Ordo Mass here in most of our parishes in the United States, there really is very little, if not at all, any Latin. As I learn and journey through my experience in the last couple of months, especially in my time in Switzerland, I was very impressed by the faithful there. I was very impressed by the community of believers that welcomed me, that brought me into their community to share some wisdom of my ministry, and the devoutness that was present in the home of Benjamin and his beautiful bride, Johanna. We had they had eight children, three that were in a boarding school, but five there. And the faithfulness present in that home was very palpable. I could feel it from the moment I walked in, not only because there was great imagery of Catholicity in the home, of wonderful statues and a shrine to Our Lady there, and a prayer space that was beautiful. Everything began, I should say, with prayer and ended with prayer, whether it was before meals, after meals, the afternoon Angelus, the morning Angelus, the evening Angelus. It was very it was very obvious that there was a sincere desire to live our faith, our Catholic faith, in everything that we do. And I come away from that experience very impressed, very blessed, and wanting to bring this back to my family and our ministry. So I want to just tell you that there is wonderful spirit of the faith happening in the country of Switzerland, and there are pockets of faith in Europe where there's tremendous growth in this understanding of the Mass through the extraordinary form, very great appreciation of it. And it blessed me greatly. So I encourage you to continue to be open to the Mass ad orientem. Cardinal Sarah has asked that all Masses be in the ad orientem. So if you go to the shrine of Częstochowa, you'll see Mass ad orientem. You'll see the priest facing the altar. It's a beautiful thing, and there's a great reason for it. And I think as we journey as a lay faithful, we should know these reasons. And so so that was beautiful to see, and it was beautiful to pray the rosary in the Latin as we were traveling in the car. I didn't speak Swiss German, but so I could speak the Latin. And we could pray Ave Maria, Grazia Plena. We could go through Pater Noster, and we could pray the rosary. And that was beautiful, and I could communicate well. And I'm always sharing that with you, that I encourage you, dear faithful, that that we learn these prayers. That's important for us to not neglect the Latin Rite, which is what we are here in the West. We are the Latin Rite, and it's part of our faith. Yet most of us don't know Latin. Most of us don't pray in Latin. But it's a language that the devil repels, and Satan does not want to hear it. And so it's good to use. It's used in exorcisms. When there's an exorcism, Latin is used. So let's not neglect this great treasure that we have. When we come back from our first break, I'm going to talk about this amazing retreat that I had in the Swiss Alps. Took some amazing pictures, and we did some incredible things. And I just want to share with you the joy that I experienced on the mountain with these wonderful men of God, about 12, 15 of us. And what we did, it was an into-the-wild experience like no other. And I want to share with you just the wonderful rigor of it physically, spiritually, emotionally, to inspire you, to encourage you, and share with you the great benefit of doing that here. You don't have to go to Europe to do those things. We have Into the Wilds all over the country, and we'll be doing more in 2019. So as we come to the end of our program year at the King's Men, I want you to ask yourself, are you challenging yourself? Are you stretching yourself to grow spiritually? But yes, to grow emotionally and physically. This is important that we not neglect these responsibilities to our body. And to our life, right? For our life, that we stay a healthy human being, and we are temples of the Holy Spirit, and so we must keep the body nourished and fortified through a regimen of ourselves for ourselves that is not a soft. And I think this emasculization of the culture and the feminization of men in this culture is because men have become soft. And we come back from the break, I want to talk about how this retreat was not soft in any ways. It challenged me beyond anything I've done in the last 10 years and how it was really good for my soul. And I think it's important that we think about, you know, have we become lazy in the faith? You know, have we become lazy in our lives? We expect a cushy lifestyle, a soft lifestyle. When we come back, we're going to get into that because I think that's really at the core of some of our lapseness in our faith. And when we start to waver, it might be because we're being a little too soft in our life. Stay tuned. When we come back, we'll dive more deeply into this. And we'll talk about the Swiss Alps. We'll talk about Swiss chocolate. We'll talk about fondue, which I had a chance to experience over there, which was, a wonderful gift to me on that level. But you know, just awesome to see and break bread in that way. So we'll share some of the traditions that I experienced over there. And like I said, some of these amazing saints, St. Gallus, St. Nicholas, St. Meinrad of Einsiedeln, these are saints we should know.
With this Holy Spirit Radio news update, the arrest has been made in the bombing suspect in South Florida this afternoon or this morning. More news will be coming from the federal government, but at Holy Spirit Radio, we continue to pray for peace in this world, love for each other, for our politicians, that they may lead in the proper manner. So we are grateful that this arrest, and we're grateful to all the law enforcement who have fought to get this done so quickly.
Finis from the Mary Mother the Redeemer Men's Group. Please join us the first and third Saturdays of every month at 6:30 a.m. at 1325 Upper State Road in North Wales, PA 19454. If you are interested in becoming a better man, a better father, and a better husband, you need to join us. Be a better man by following Christ. Please join us the first and third Saturdays of every month at 6:30 a.m. at 1325 Upper State Road in North Wales.
Welcome back. That was Frank Eliason giving us an update on the arrest of the person who is sending threats to our former leaders, the Clinton family, the Obama family. Very sad, but glad to hear that this person is being brought to justice. So more to come on that. Again, before we went to break, we were talking about my recent trip to Switzerland. And I got to tell you, the Swiss man is a really rugged man. He's a strong man. This Swiss guard that guards the Pope, boy, I tell you, these men are, they have what it takes. In fact, on this retreat I took in the Swiss Alps with about 12 to 15 Swiss guys, one of them was a former Swiss guard for John Paul II. 2001 to 2003, I think it was a two-year stint. Most Swiss Guard are in for 2 years. The first year, they cannot go home. They're there in the Vatican and with the Pope, wherever he travels, for a full year before they can have time back in their native home place. But anyhow, this one of the men on the retreat was a former Swiss Guard, and he was sharing some stories of his time with John Paul. I also learned that every man in Switzerland is required to serve in the army for at least 1 year, and then they have some trainings post those years. But I think that's a wonderful thing. Now, Switzerland is a much smaller country than the United States. I think Benjamin told me there might be 8 million people in the whole country. Maybe less than that, I'm not sure. But we have 5 million people in the city of Philadelphia. So you can see that the country is small, but there's great things happening there. And there's the faith, the sacred deposit, is rich there, as in most Europe. The history of the saints and the history of the church is long. And I had an opportunity to visit at some of these wonderful holy places. But before I did that, I went into the Swiss Alps. We hiked in with, again, 12, 15 guys, and we hiked in what seemed maybe about 3 or 4 miles initially to a first stopping point. And they kind of eased me into that retreat. We were climbing up through a brook that consisted of rocks that we had to step on. And then eventually we got to an orienteering situation, which is very common to me. And I was able to influence some of our Swiss guys with some of my experience with orienteering here in the United States through our Into the Wild. We had to navigate up the mountain, but follow a topographical map to get to our next destination point. So we were climbing into the Swiss Alps, and we were doing it in teams. It was really edifying. Along the way, they had scripture quotes that we would find and read, and then we had talks along the way. A priest that was with us, Father Murray, gave some inspiration to the men along the journey to remind them of what we're doing and what we're made for as men. And those were very edifying. And so as we began that journey, this retreat, we began it with a spiritual and physical exercise component, which is very much at the heart of our Into the Wild retreats. And what we do and why we take men into the wilderness is to really awaken their male potencies, the things that they are really, it's in their nature to be, to come alive with, I would say, that the outdoors should speak to a man's heart. Because why? A man was placed in the garden in the beginning of time. Adam was placed in the garden. And so it's in his nature, it's in our nature as men to really awaken this joy of the outdoors. Well, in Switzerland, it's just part of your existence. It's part of your life. Swiss Alps are pretty much right behind you. It doesn't take long to get to them, to climb them, to hike through them. And where we were was a really a beautiful part of the Swiss Alps, a very famous part. Nonetheless, we went right after it. We started right in, and we started climbing, and we had about maybe 50 to 75 pounds on my backpack, hiking in, not really knowing where we're going. And I think the men benefited from that because it was a journey. And sometimes in life, we're journeying, not knowing where we're going. Hopefully we have some idea, with a good map and a compass and our moral compass formed properly and set properly, we can find our way to true north, which is heaven. However, sometimes we don't know where we're going, and our map is not set to true north, and we're heading in the wrong direction. Well, as we began this retreat, we had to work as a team to kind of figure out where we were going to get to the destination point where the organizers had planned for us. And so we proceeded up like a 90-degree pitch on a mountain to make it to our first stopping point. And when we got to that first stopping point, I thought, okay, we're going to have a break time. Well, no, these Swiss guys had something else planned. They had a physical challenge ready for us. Now, we had been hiking about maybe 2 hours at this point, maybe 2 hours before this, and you were feeling the strain on yourself physically. My legs started to cramp up a little bit, but had a little bit of left in the tank to do this physical challenge. So we did this tug of war, and we all did it as teams and as groups, and some won, some lost. I think I won with my group 3 out of 5 contests, and then thinking that was okay, that was fun, that was good. They had a whole set of physical challenges set up with carrying logs with another brother or two and carrying it for 5 minutes around in a circle. And then once you were done that, you picked up another log and you carried that for another 5 minutes. And it was a test of endurance and strength and perseverance. And strategy was incorporated there. How were you going to do it with two other guys? Would you do it with two guys? Would you do it with three guys? This was a test of our will. And I think when we're talking about growing in our faith, and I've always referred to this in my journey as a man, that sports and activity and physical exercises is really a training in our formation of our will. And this was very good. This was very good to give the men an experience that stretched them physically and tested their wills. And so you had a chance to quit or say no or just give up. But every man did not. So it was this great positive peer pressure whereby you saw others doing it with a smile on their face, with joy in their hearts. Not knowing why we were doing it necessarily, but being set with a challenge and say, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to work out our bodies. So we just tested ourselves to a rigorous hike that was a challenge in itself. However, we were going to really stretch our bodies to exhaustion at this point. And once we finished the log carries, we had relay races. and we had men carry, like firemen carry, of men in a relay. And we had wagon wheels where we had to make each man into a wagon wheel. And you say, geez, why would you do this? Why would you torture your body? Then we had to do push-ups, 100 of them. And so by the time you were done, you were physically spent. You were exhausted. You were wiped out. And so what did they do? They didn't give you a break. They just said, now we're going to do a mental quiz test. So we had like 20, 25, 30 questions of on random stuff that would test your mental strength at this point. So you just exhausted yourself physically. I know some of you are listening. You're saying, why would you put yourself through this? Well, it was really good for me. It was, you know, we need to remind ourselves, brothers and sisters in Christ, that even though we're aging, we're getting older, we still need to stay physically active. And we still need to be testing and challenging ourselves, staying mentally sharp, because it's a battle we're engaged in, a spiritual battle. And for those that are not ready to be tested and haven't continually pushed themselves and persevered and stretched themselves emotionally, physically, mentally, that spiritual battle is going to be beyond their abilities to engage. They might be taken out very quickly. So when we talk about the spiritual life and we talk about the journey as a man, we have to see that, yes, we are physical beings. You know, we have a physical body that we need to keep in shape. And I'm not saying, you know, work out like a gym rat. I'm not saying that at all. St. Paul says the spiritual exercises are more important than the physical, but he doesn't say that we eliminate the physical. And I think for many of us as pious, virtuous men, we may give ourselves more spiritual than we do physical, or we might just eliminate the physical altogether because we just want to be spiritual. Well, we're not just spiritual beings. We're human beings, and we have to take care of our body, and we have the duty and a responsibility to stay healthy. Not only for our bodies to you know live to a long life or to be here to serve God and give Him glory, but also for our families. Our families deserve a healthy father, a healthy husband. Our church needs healthy men, and so we need to enter into a school of physical exercise, spiritual exercise, as often as possible. And I think this is what the organizers were doing on this Swiss retreat for men. I think they were really wanted to bring in that component, because to neglect that would really be to neglect your growth in virtue. Because if you want to grow in temperance, you know, which is your appetites under control, we really need to enter into a school of self-mastery. And so when you do a rigorous workout, there's a great degree of letting go, of dying to self, and submitting to a program that really stretches you, that challenges you. And that is so good for our souls. Brothers, after we did that mental quiz, they weren't done. They had a soccer challenge, or they would call football, over there, that the teams would play a soccer match. Well, at this point, I literally, I had so much cramping in my legs that I could barely walk. And, you know, thanks be to God, the guys had some magnesium with them, and they were able to give that to me, and my legs really, really quickly recovered. However, you know, it was that strenuous. However, the men all entered in with great joy on their faces, and completed those matches, and our morning activities were done at this point, and it was time for lunch. What was interesting about the lunch was they tied in the quality of lunch with how you performed. And I thought that was really interesting. We kind of do that into the wild a little bit with our feast on Saturdays, where we'll tie in some of our activities of the day with our activities from the previous day, who did well with orienteering, they will receive first in line. And so there's a reward there for some of the men. So they were rewarding the men who competed the best. And I'm not proud to say, but my group finished last. So it was very humbling, and it was good. Again, that was a good thing. We didn't have the best of the three meals or four meals that were offered. However, they gave us enough to fill our bellies and prepare us for our next part of our journey, which was probably the highlight of the experience for me, which I'm going to talk about next. But nonetheless, we had a nice lunch. I gave a talk on finding true joy as men, and it was translated, and shared the journey of the beloved son with the men. And this was very, very good for me to be able to share and give something back to the men who were giving so much to me. And I really enjoyed the 15 minutes or so on the mountain. Giving a talk on the Swiss Alps was probably something that I will never do again, in the sense of delivering a talk. Maybe I'll do it again, hopefully, God willing. But I've never had a talk like that, which was really amazing and incredible. So I'm really grateful for the organizers for allowing me to give a presentation with that beautiful scenery and backdrop. And so there we were, bellies full, on the hilltop at a lodge in the Swiss Alps, talking about our beloved sonship and our identity as men, as beloved sons. And that was very gratifying. What I didn't know, the next thing that they would offer us was going to stretch me probably more than I've ever been stretched in my entire life. And I've done a lot of things physically. With the End of the Wild, yes, but certainly with my career as an athlete, as a college football player, I've been tested in many ways physically. However, at this point, with cramping and fatigue at a really high level, they brought us to, we hiked to a next point where they had all these cut horizontal beams. This is gonna really inspire you or really discourage you. So we had these horizontal beams, and they said, okay, we want to climb the mountain with these horizontal beams on our back. And I said, oh no. It was a 90-degree pitch. I mean, it was straight up. And in the Swiss Alps, as you go up a mountain, you don't go straight up. You go in winding path patterns to get up the mountain. It's the only way to go up. So we had to carry a horizontal beam. And I tell you, it was my own personal Golgotha. And I'm really going to incorporate something similar to this. We do this at our Samson retreat, which, by the way, is 2 weeks away. We'll talk about that after the second break here, that invitation. But I had to carry a horizontal beam all the way up the mountain. Now, why was this important? And why is this so powerful for us to consider in our journey? Because we really need to understand our life through Christ's life. And frankly, I don't know how else you can understand Christ's life until you take up your cross and follow him. Now, for some of us, it doesn't have to be a physical board on our back. I mean, some of us are diagnosed with disease, and we have mental disabilities, and we have many things that we deal with emotionally that are crosses, addictions and things like that, certainly. However, in this sense, to take up a beam on my back, to experience my own personal Golgotha, climbing a mountain, I really entered into that journey of Christ in his Via Dolorosa. And I had to pause many times and just catch my breath. But I said, okay, you know, Jesus fell many times, and he had to take a moment of break physically. And I tell you, it was very redemptive. So why am I sharing this? Why is this important to share with you? Yes, it was a unique challenge, and it challenged me physically. And it was great spiritually, and it was great for my meditation. However, we need to really seek redemptive suffering in our life. And this is why I want to talk about this retreat, because it was very redemptive. I did something, and I encourage you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, to offer up anything that you're doing that's challenging, whether it's work-related, whether it's family-related, even whether it's just on a personal, recreational level, to allow what's difficult to be redemptive, to enter into that redemptive running or walking or carrying, and to really see and find for yourself joy. Because there's great joy in offering up these things that are hard for us for the love of others and for our families and for our friends or for what is needed in the church. So this time, which I'll talk a little bit more about but when we come back on the break, this time climbing up a 90-degree pitch up a mountain where we would raise up a cross in the Swiss Alps was really redemptive. I'll talk about more when I come back.
Deaf Apostolate of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia has a mission to help serve the deaf and hard of hearing communities and their families. It helps them discover Jesus Christ and live a vibrant, faith-filled life. The Deaf Apostolate offers services such as Masses in American Sign Language, Interpreted Masses, Retreats in American Sign Language, Sacramental Prep for Children and Adults, Religious Education, Pastoral Care, and Deaf Social Events. If your loved one is deaf or hard of hearing and could benefit from services to help discover a life of faith, please visit deafcatholicphilly.org or call 215-587-3919. Let the Deaf Apostolate of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia help you and your loved ones in your faith journey. Contact the office at 215-587-3919. That's 215-587-3919.
A longtime supporter of Holy Spirit Radio is Holly Hill Health Foods, a locally owned, family-run business for over 26 years. They offer a wide selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, and formulas. They also have nutritionists to serve your needs. Visit Holly Hill Health Foods at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, Pennsylvania, or call them at 215-361-7770. You can also shop online at hollyhillvitamins.com.
All right, welcome back. Interesting show today. We're talking about my experience in Switzerland, and I'm just offering it to you just for reflection, but also to see in the challenges of life, and this was a physical challenge that I experienced in the Swiss Alps, this retreat I did with men a week ago this, let's see, I was there on the mountain on the 12th and the 13th, the 13th and the 14th of October, so not that long ago, just 11 days ago. And I'm sharing with you how redemptive it was for me. And I was carrying a beam up that ultimately would become a part of a fuller cross that would be erected at the top of the or the midpoint in the mountain. But it was a summit point that was in the midpoint, if I can say that, in the Swiss Alps. Okay, and boy, that was really edifying to see the collective efforts. And I think this is like an analogy or metaphor for our lives. The collective efforts of the men all coming together to form one purpose or for one mission. And it's really the body of Christ in its microscope here, that we're all bringing our gifts and talents for the good of God's salvific work on this earth for all the lay faithful. And so these beams that we were carrying on our backs up to this summit point was really a beautiful exercise in seeing our contribution to the body of Christ. And the men raised up and built a wonderful cross that is now standing at this summit point in the Swiss Alps. And it's very commonly done. I think some other groups have done such. But I tell you, it was really redemptive for me because it was probably the hardest thing I've ever done physically. I wanted to quit several times. I wanted to give up. I probably stopped at least 7 or 8 times along the way just to catch my breath and gather myself and regroup to say, yes, you can, keep going. And as I watched the other men, and I was towards the end of the pack, it was probably 2 guys behind me, I watched the other men continue and complete their journey. It really encouraged me. I was thinking of Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ, when Simon of Cyrene was helping with Jesus, and in the movie he'll say to Jesus, when they can see the place of the skull, Golgotha, where he would be crucified, Simon whispers to Jesus, almost there, almost there, almost done. And I was saying that almost to myself in the same way, almost done. And I was encouraging myself and helping myself, but also asking Christ to really give me strength and asking the Father to help me, much like I'm sure Jesus had to do. And this became very redemptive for me and offering up for those in my life who needed it most, but also teaching myself that, yes, I can, that with the help of God, I can do all things. And Him who gives me strength, in Philippians 4:13, we know we can do all things in God who gives us strength. And there I was in this mountain with men who I didn't know very well, but we were bonding together. And that's so important when you bring men together for a retreat, that you give them an opportunity to bond. It's one thing to give them a lecture, and that's fine. We can bond with the personal lecture and the person who's speaking it, and he can connect with our heart, but we really need to connect with one another. And that's why the Samson Healing Retreat, which is going to happen in 2 weeks in Hamilton, New Jersey, is so efficacious for healing in men's lives. Because we give them activities like I just shared with you, not as rigorous for sure, but like I just shared with you, to bond together, to work together, to see the beauty in their offering to God, their story of suffering, give them an exercise, a context by which they can reflect and contemplate their journey, and give them an opportunity to do it with other men, will become very healing to them if each man allows himself to enter in. And that's what I had to do. I had to allow myself to enter into that experience. Or I could just whine and complain or say, geez, I can't believe they're making us do this. And believe me, there's thoughts that I said to myself, geez, this is really challenging. Like, I can't believe that they're asking us to do this right now after the morning we had that was so rigorous. This became even more rigorous. And so we completed that task, and it was such an accomplishment, such a sense of fulfillment. I took a picture on the mountain. It reminded me of, maybe you've seen some of these 1920s or 30s pictures of the men on the skyscrapers in New York when they were building the Empire State Building, and they're literally out on a ledge, or they're out on a beam, and they're having lunch. And we were on this mountain, and I took a picture whereby it was like, it's just a complete drop-off. Now, it's not as scary as it looks, but nonetheless, you're still there. And we were just sitting around at the top of this summit where we're raising up this cross. And then you could tell they were just really relieved. They were happy. They were peaceful. And they had a great joy on in their spirit, and their countenance. It was very good. And I witnessed this, and I said, wow, this is impressive. And Father Murray heard confessions off a little further up, and men could go to confession. So they were starting to weave in the sacramental life of the church. Of course, we began our day with Mass prior to going into the Swiss Alps. I thought at this point that our day would be done. As the sun was setting, I thought our day would be done and that we would descend back down to the lodge where we had lunch and have an evening relaxation. Oh, no. To the Swiss man, we had a lot more hiking to do. We were ascending to the top of the mountain, which was another 2 hours away in hiking. And we had to do it with our headlamps on, which means it was pitch black. And it was pretty risky. It was very challenging. Thankfully, I'd done some rock climbing in the Rockies about 12 years ago. So some of it was familiar to me in what we had to do. But with 12 to 15 men walking in the dark with headlamps on, you really had to rely on one another and trust one another. I started to cramp up again. The guys gave me some Swiss chocolate. They gave me some soda to give me a boost in energy. They gave me some more magnesium. And actually, I had to give up my pack at about an hour or so into the hike. It was requested of me to give up my pack. And I did it with some resistance, but it required great humility. In fact, I had to eventually just let go and die to my pride and just say, okay, this would be better for me. Because physically, I was just spent. I couldn't fathom more hiking. And there was probably another good 45 minutes to go to get to the summit. And so one of the men, Manuel, on the hike said, "Mark, give me your pack." And eventually they just, after the third time requesting it, after about a half hour of asking me, they finally received that pack. And I was grateful because I don't know if I would have made it if I did. Another man had to give up his pack as well. And these Swiss guys were, I tell you, they're ruddy, rugged men, strong men. And they carried my pack and this other man's pack all the way up to the top. And there was Father Murray, who comes from the mountaintop himself, his family in the mountain region of Switzerland, the French-speaking area, was there waiting for us. And he delivered a talk at the peak of the mountain. And I don't know what time it was. It might have been 10 p.m. But there it was our talk. To relax at the peak. We've reached our destination. The climax of the day would be this ascending the mountain. And in Scripture, we know that Jesus was always going up mountaintops, and Moses, not as high as the Swiss Alps likely, but nonetheless, there was great alignment with our faith and Christ's journey and the challenge and the perseverance and, again, the redemptive element of it all. But doing as a band of brothers, oh boy, it was so enriching. It was so good to experience that. When I got to the top, a man handed me some power bar, and they were just ministering to me. And there I was, I'm there, supposed to be ministering to them, and they're doing it for me. So we spent some time on the mountain briefly at the top, and then it was time to descend down to our lodging point for the night. So we had about another hour and a half of downward hiking. And we sung and chanted the rosary the whole way down. And we had torchlight, and we received a talk, another talk on the way down. My friend Benjamin, who I was staying with, my host, he gave a talk, and we chanted Our Lady's rosary. The Marian Psalter, and we sung it in Latin. It was awesome. Can you just picture men descending the mountain in the mountaintop in the Swiss Alps, chanting Our Lady's Rosary with weapons in our hands at 10 o'clock at night? Can you imagine people down in the little villages that would be on the mountains hearing that? What a joy that would be. And we arrived at the bottom, the midpoint of the Alps where our lodging was. And we had probably around like 10:30, 11 o'clock, we had an amazing fondue dinner where we all dipped our bread in the fondue. Now, Switzerland's known for its fondue, right? I think they created it. I'll tell you, what a great meal to share with other men. We had little glasses of wine and fondue, and I tell you, it was such a celebratory thing. And the joy at the table and the buzz at the table and the conversations were so uplifting. And full of laughter, full of humor, and I could really appreciate that. Even though the language was tough for me, men spoke English as well. We just bonded as brothers, as a band of brothers. I tell you, it was such a highlight for me. We went out and did night prayer, and we closed our night, and we slept on hay, which if you've never slept on a full bed of hay, it's one of the more comfortable experiences that you'll have as far as sleep accommodations go. And there we were sleeping in hay with a 40-degree sleeping bag. There I was with 10 out of 12 other brothers in the pitch black, just resting in the Lord, resting in our day and what we've experienced. It was so good. Friends, you need to do this for yourself. And I don't mean go to the Swiss Alps, although that's really cool if you could. I mean, just take your sons and go into the wilderness and camp out for a night. Go to a retreat center and just spend some time in God's creation. Friends, I think this is my takeaway for you today, is get in nature, especially now in the fall, where the colors of the leaves are changing. It's so beautiful. It's so glorious, and it gives glory to God to do that, to appreciate God's nature and what he's created for us. To neglect that and to ignore that and to just forget about it is really an offense to God, I think. I think we as men need to get back to these things. We need to do it with our children. We need to do it with our nephews and grandparents, do it with their grandsons. It's so good for our faith life. It's so good for our spirituality. And so I don't have time to share the next day, but we did descend the mountain and ascend it up for another wonderful Mass. We went down and up again to another valley where we had a beautiful Sunday Mass in the Swiss Alps. And then we closed with more Swiss cuisine and interesting ways of cooking food. They took these bananas and cut a slit in them and stuck a piece of Swiss chocolate and stuck it over a fire and just let the banana and the chocolate marinate. And then you scooped it out with a spoon. Oh, I'm going to introduce it to our Into the Wild retreat. We're going to do that. So it's just so awesome, that experience. And the men, we just, like Into the Wild or any retreat that I do here in the States, the celebration of something accomplished like that was just really just good for the soul. Good for the soul. And I encourage you, and I hope I've encouraged you. Maybe you found it interesting today. I had a chance to visit St. Meinrad of Einsiedeln's cathedral in Einsiedeln. I went to see St. Gallus on the feast of St. Gallus, who's an Irish monk who came to Switzerland in the 6th century, patron of Switzerland. I visited St. Nicholas, who's the patron of Switzerland. Here's a man who was 48 years old, had 10 children, and felt a deeper call for communion with God. And with permission of his wife, after raising his children, escaped to a hermitage about less than a mile away from where he built a home for his family. And he helped the Swiss avoid a civil war in the 1400s with his counsel. And they believe that his intercession and prayers to him kept Switzerland out of the First World War and the Second World War. Did you know that Switzerland wasn't involved at all? That they remained neutral through that whole experience? And this is because of the patronage of St. Nicholas. So I invite you to learn about St. Gallus, and I venerated his relics of his cranium on the Feast of St. Gallus. I invite you to learn about St. Meinrad of Einsiedeln if you have the Magnificat for this month. He's actually in the Magnificat. And I invite you to learn more about St. Nicholas. So we invoke St. Gallus and St. Nicholas and St. Meinrad to pray for us this day as we close our time together. God bless you.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating